I'm noticing you're being able to do this. You know, a year ago, you wouldn't have been able to do this. Or the strength that they're getting, you know, if they're maturing, if there's, just a lot of different things that we can just help them, and it kind of can lead up to when you get into this material. It's interesting, too. Last night, I did mention something to my children as far as what they remembered about it, and the food was definitely the first thing that they talked about. No, and what we did was we basically, and I know it was more than that. I can tell it was more than that. It was just that, you know, what teenager really wants to, share that, to come to this. So what we did to use the material is I basically told my sons that I have two sons that went through the material already. One was 3 years ago. The other one's just this last summer, so it's pretty recent here yet. But we just did a one-day thing. It is designed for the weekend, but it can work to do it just in one day. I purposely found a place that was far enough away, kind of figured out that we could listen to all the CDs. And I had just asked them ahead of time and didn't really tell them that we're going to have any material to share, but I said, we're getting to the age, I'd at least like knock a day off of work and we'll just go have a fun day together. And my oldest son is, and I shared some of this year, a couple years ago here at Encourage Men, but he never had the experience of pheasant hunting, and he enjoys hunting. I do too. And so we took a day off and went to a pheasant farm and had a good time there. And of course, it was far enough away, a couple hours away, that we got to listen to some of the material. And we had the pheasant hunt and had the rest on the way home. And then it was also the time when Cabela's was the thing to do, so we stopped at Cabela's on the way home. But it, what I was encouraged by on that trip, and again I was this last summer, was I didn't get the feeling from them that this is just a teaching, a sermon on CD that we're listening to when we're going. This material is geared towards that it makes it interesting enough that they're saying, what's the next CD to pop in, you know? And in saying that, they also have a very serious side on the Passport of Purity. It is not like it's just a entertainment by any means. They have a lot of good points, I feel, that they point out. There is other things we can learn by it. There is some things on there that I would say as an Anabaptist people, probably not how we normally live or practice. That can also be a teaching lesson. You know, it can also be a time when you get to them points and say, look, this isn't really, but, I'm pointing out why, even for myself, the music that is used on that is not what I practice to teach to my children or what I would encourage them to be listening to. Is it bad words? No, it's not. I feel it's a lot of scripture. They actually put music to the scripture, and it is good scripture. It's things that they should learn. But the music they put to it is for myself is not what I would promote. But it can be a teaching lesson right there. You know, can it be a time that we can say, son, there's a lot of good lyrics out there, a lot of good music out there. The wording can be fine, but not the music that I would promote. So that is something I think as we use this material, as if you preview this, if you're thinking about using this and you're first getting into it, it may be something to be like, wow, this isn't exactly what I was expecting. But I think all in all, it is material that we want to promote, and it makes it just a bonding experience, no doubt about it. This summer, and it's interesting, we all know that all our children are so different, and that's the neat thing. It would be awfully boring if they'd all be the same. So it is, when my first son, he was 12, I think upper 12, going on 13 until we used the material. And he reacts to things like this differently. He's a more of a laid-back nature, I guess I would say. And my next son is very much opposite of that. It's full force ahead. And also, may take a little bit longer to grasp some things, maybe not thinking things through as deeply. So he's actually 14. So we felt, and we talked about that, my wife and I, that, you know, I think it'd be good to just give it another little more time. So in saying that, I don't think it's at 14 or 12, this is when my son and I are going to go have the talk. I think it's important to know your children, know how they're going to probably respond to this. And it was interesting because it was, he was definitely the one that, which is the next CD to put in. Okay, we just did four, did we do five next? You know, it was, and I loved that because it wasn't like, can we turn it off now and just, you know, keep going. So, well, we didn't go on a pheasant hunt with him, but he's into more activity, and we went down to Maryland to a rope and zip line course. And I was nervous about two things, you know. But it was an enjoyable day. At the end of the day, it was awesome, but it took me to the edge in two perspectives, no doubt. And it's like, it was an interesting day. So, I just appreciate too the thought, and it was shared by the brothers here, that this is not the magic wand. I remember I have an older brother I was sharing with one time, and it was a time when our children are pretty close together in age, and six children, and you know how that goes when you have the two, three, and four, and older. It's each stage has its challenges, and I just remember sharing with him that, you know, boy, I think I'm really in the fire right now. You know, and his advice came back, and it sticks with me because I think of it often. He was like, when all your children can get in the same vehicle and go home together, he said, remember them times. And I would just encourage each of you that are in that age bracket, because each age bracket has its challenges. We all know that. And I think it's really important that we keep reminding ourselves to enjoy the stage we're in. I'm an 18-year-old, 16-year-old, 14, 12, 10, and, yeah, she's 7, yeah. Anyway, just enjoy the stage you're in and make the best of it, because it is, each has its challenges. Them words that he said as far as when they can all get in the same vehicle and go home, and, you know, you can get them all tucked in for the night. Pretty special times, you know, and now, you know, it's like, when are they coming home? So, anyway, I appreciate that. Appreciate both of you sharing. I'm going to give some time for Jason. I think he had some things that he wanted to maybe go over with it. I would just really encourage and be open with some questions today if there is anything that was shared here. We'd be glad to. There again, none of us feel like we have all the answers by any means. But if it can just be a help to each other, That's what encouragement is all about. It's simply that, encourage men in life. So I'll turn it over to Jason.
I begin by apologizing to Ray because I didn't do a good job of introducing. Most of you are familiar with him because he's been here before. But Ray was very instrumental in laying the groundwork for encourage men. He was in on it at an early stage, and we worked together side by side and with each other. And that brother is a dearly loved brother of mine, and we still communicate a reasonable amount. And I just want to bless him in his ministry. He does a lot of counseling. And anyone who spends time with hurting people and counseling knows that so many of the problems that we deal with go back to a misuse of sexuality and moral failure. And so we believe that if there's going to be a change in our future and our culture, this is the groundwork's going to happen here. It has to be won in the home. And I'm so grateful for the young men that are here. And most of us never had a connection with our dads. That's why that paper, it's back on the table, that Asher Whitmer wrote. He had his father write the foreword of that. And Randall Winger just put me onto that a couple of days ago, and Randall, I printed it off and brought it along. So you're welcome to pick some up. We're going to run out of them. The next thing I was going to say, we might run out of these, but what I would encourage you to do is perhaps Nolan, if you would keep a tab of people who want some even after we're out of them, so we know about how many more to get. Brunel said it well, and I agree with him too. There's some things in here that, from an Anabaptist perspective, we might struggle with a bit, but for the most part, the material is healthy. It's healthy, and so we do promote it and encourage it. What I would love to see, and I'm going off on a little bit of a bunny trail, is when Encouragement started 11 years ago. It was done by the evangelical world. It was done by Robert Lewis, and a lot of patriotism and even military and using modern day movies in Hollywood to actually teach some of the stuff they were teaching. And when I listened to it at first, I go, you know what? This stuff needs to be Anabaptized. So, and forgive that expression, because, you know, that's not how I feel about it today. I want it to be solidly biblical, and I believe in the foundations of our Anabaptist heritage, and the reason I do is because it's so solidly biblical. Not because we're Anabaptists, but because it's solidly biblical. And it's looking at the scriptures as the first church believed and practiced it. So, you know what I would love? I see some very talented and very skilled young men coming on, and forgive this. This is not self promotion. It's just that I did take that material and I made it what I believed was solidly biblical that I could support and use. What I would love to see is somebody in our Anabaptist circles take something like this and lets us produce material. One of the things that I'm looking forward to in the future here is producing another series that can be used, and those plans are in the makings. Maybe we'll talk about it later. But we need to start producing material instead of going to the outside for our help, and that's a bunny trail. But I really appreciate you, brothers, for talking about going through the experience with your children. This, we end up with this narrow opportunity to connect to our children's hearts. And this is a great way to do it. I sort of forgot how important that some of this material was. As I was listening to it, I'm hearing Barbara talk to the girls, I'm hearing Dennis talk to the young men, and it is good stuff. It's talking about peer pressure and who sets the standard for our children's sexuality. God gave children parents to teach them the most important things about life. And I don't think there's a much more important topic than our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gave us the gift of sexuality to show us and to reveal to us the type of intimate relationship he wants to have with us. We need to give this to our children because the enemy, he wants to destroy God's image, and he wants to destroy our children. He wants to destroy our families. He wants to destroy our marriages. And men, we set the foundation for this when we connect with our children's hearts and we teach them about the most important things that they could know in life. And this is a huge one. So let's open it up for Q&A if you have a question. Jay's over there. He has a roving mic. So raise your hand if you have questions for these men. And if you don't, we'll probably spark a few more. And we have a hand over here. So let's begin.
I guess a question I have, Brunel, for you, or any one of you, actually, is on having two boys close together and doing it with the one, how do you limit beings that are close together? How does that work out? And is there a sharing back and forth before you get the chance to do it to the second one? Or how does that work?
That's a good question, because I have three boys that are pretty close in age as well. I didn't really talk about it at all before we went that it was going to be on that talk. Maybe purposely because of that, because there could have been a lot of maybe questions about ahead of time. And kind of I want it to be special for each of them. And I think that's what you're saying as well. I have found that of sharing when they come back. There again, everybody's nature differently. There could be. I didn't really say that I don't want him to, because I think there can be things he can learn from each other. I think it's important that when we do use this material or any material, it doesn't just have to be passport to pure good. When we have that conversation with them at the appropriate age, that we tell them, you just keep emphasizing that they need to realize that they're now there's some responsibilities, but they have more responsibilities. They're at the age where there's more responsibilities. Maybe some of the other men here have more to share on that, but I didn't really have a lot like when we came back from that they're going and sharing of the material. They did the activity we did, obviously they talked about that. But as far as the material from Passport to Pure EI, to my knowledge, there hasn't been any shared between them.
I would say that the material is presented in such a way that who cares? If they're sharing stuff, here's what's been happening in our time. What did we share back and forth with each other? Okay, we shared the crap. Here you're gonna have good stuff shared. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to ask. I don't know if Bernal or whoever, but how to bring our wives along? Maybe they didn't have a conversation with their moms when they were young, and so maybe they're struggling with some ideas for bringing our wives along and encouraging them to take our daughters. We have a 13 and 12-year-old, and I was encouraging to take both of them, but maybe that's not a good idea. Maybe it's always best one-on-one.
I don't want to keep answering questions, but my thought would be one-on-one would be what I would encourage. I think it's really important. It's a bonding experience that you can have one-on-one. I had to be encouragement to my wife very much to use this material, and she may have listened in this morning, but that's okay. But everybody is nature differently. My wife is not one that would be as outgoing as I am, I guess, put it quite long, which I appreciate that very much for that. But I think it's important that you as a couple review this material together prior to sharing it with your children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it could be, the way they come across it, and when you actually listen to it, I feel it kind of gives you the confidence that you can do this. And even, if it's not really, it takes you out of your comfort zone, I think it should. There's certain things that we just need to push ourselves to. And, it might be more.
I would agree. One-on-one is much better than trying to do two. One, I go one at a time, make it special, or something special to the child when a parent takes them out one-on-one. I find that with our sons. They appreciate that one-on-one time. I would also affirm Bernal, to help your wife overcome the fear, can you look at it together with her? Is it possible to discuss it together with her? Listen to the CDs together? There's the parent manual lays it out. I mean, very clearly, step by step, how to go about it. But I would just encourage you maybe to listen to it together.
Mm-hmm.
And just ask the Lord Jesus to give her, Lord, would you just speak to my wife's heart? Would you give her the courage and the strength to move forward and take this time with your daughter? Be my encouragement.
Yeah, listening to it together is powerful. Mm-hmm. And the other, this is not something I feel is ideal, but I know a family that they have two daughters, and mom just couldn't step up to the plate and do it, and dad did it with his daughters, and it was just, it was a really interesting experience that they connected and bonded in a healthy way. It's not ideal, but I think it was better than none, a whole lot better than none. I don't know if you have any comments on that or not, but fathers and daughters can communicate in a very healthy way. need to communicate in a very healthy way. It's interesting. I don't know if you ever heard the expression, but children will oftentimes, the girls will get their concept of femininity from their dads, not their moms. That's interesting, how they see dad interact with them. Anyway, go ahead.
So there's a lot on my mind this morning as the men were sharing. And, you know, personally, my sexuality, I got, was a lot, you know, just imagined. You know, just there was nothing taught. And, you know, Nelson, you shared about, you know, talking about the animals and reproduction. And personally, you know, I was involved in bestiality. So there's a lot of, you know, wrong thinking that the devil did in my mind because of my dad not stepping up to the plate and teaching me about that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm raising a hallelujah today that that is no longer in my generation. You see, I've got three boys, 7, 5, and 4. And I'm just so blessed to be able to share this. And again, you know, I'm on a tremendous journey in my own personal relationship. I wrote in my journal just recently, just as a declaration, that shame is no longer my identity. Mm-hmm. And you know, one thing that I've been seeing is that when God created the whole creation up to the animals, He said it is good. He created me, and it stood out to me in your prayer this morning, Jason. You made mention of good, that it is good. And it occurred to me that as a creation, as a person, every one of you can put your name in there and say, I am very good. Jesus, you know, God created me very good. And so there's just so much. As an illustration of my personal journey, a 7-year-old, we're going through a series. It's called Learning About Sex. And, you know, we went through that from the age 3 to 5, and 7 to 9 is the next level. And so, was I nervous? Yes. But I told him previously, I said, son, there's another book. And when you turn 7, I'm going to go through that. And he turned 7, he started coming to me saying, Dad, where's the book? When are we going doing that? And finally, you know, we just went to his room and we took daddy time and we went chapter by chapter, even, you know, one evening at a time. And what surprised me was, I had read it before, but as I went through it with him, was the amount of shame that the enemy brought to me as we talked about, you know, things that and you know what I'm finding is I'm growing probably even more than he is. And so I look forward to that relationship continuing and for him being open to that. So bless anyone who has children that, you know, I'm learning to understand that I'm not alone in this. And again, you know, to reach out to someone else when I don't know, so. Thanks.
I just want to affirm you, James, in your journey. I just bless you for being intentional with your boys and your family. And as we journey with you, he's a brother here that goes, we go to church together. And I just want to publicly bless him as he has dealt with a lot of things in his past. He experienced things that he shouldn't have experienced, and he didn't experience things he should have. And James, I just want to bless you as you intentionally raise your boys, and you're doing a good job. And I just bless you for being intentional.
So we had this discussion in small group 2 weeks ago, a little bit, and I believe a lot of our parents tried their best, and I think I'm not alone in this, but I think a lot of times we shut our parents down by just saying, yeah, Dad, we know. Did you run into that or any tips on that? Like, because I don't have children that old yet, but my oldest, we had, were in that time at Atomy, stage, you know, seven is my oldest. So, but any tips for that? Like, oh, Dad, we know. And keep the doors open. So.
I appreciate them talking, but I would, my response is this. That's, as a dad, you're going to hear that. And you can say, we shut our parents down, and we do, but that's where it takes us to step up to the plate to be men and not be willing to be shut down, because they need to hear us push on and press on and push. Go ahead.
I think it's important, too, that you look for that opportunity when they actually ask you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it comes. You have to look for it sometimes. Mm-hmm. But there's the little moments when they just ask something, you treasure that. Mm-hmm. You're like, they're putting confidence in you now.
And just another input before you start there is, children are curious. And if we don't start here and answer their curiosity in healthy, age-appropriate ways, that's when we really open the door for communication keeps on going as it stair steps. Go ahead.
I just lately heard some good teaching on this as well. And it was encouraged that both father and mother do it together with the child. And I'm wondering if there's any thoughts on that. Because then the door is open to both. The boy has freedom to go to either one. Any thoughts on that?
I think there's some dynamics that it's man to man is best. Some areas of sexuality, I think father to son is better than mother to son. Even this material, there's a CD in there that is for, if it's for girls, it's for mothers only that take them through. I wouldn't want to take my daughter out and go through that with her. That's a mother's position to talk about that. There are certain parts of sexuality I believe is important that a mother speaks about, not a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I guess I would encourage that it's father to son. I don't know, I just recently journeyed with a couple and it became very damaging to her. Daddy tried to deal into some of the real personal, physical things.
Mm-hmm.
It damaged, and it was not good. And so I think that's where it's important, some aspects. So like our children, when our boys, we have five boys, but when they turned three or so, I started debating, my wife didn't. Four, I started to do that. I think there's just something about developing purity in that area. That's me personally.
And there's another part to that as well. I think there's parts of it that maybe could be done with the couple together. However, God intends for men to lead. And we show our sons that we can lead. And we show our wives that we can lead when we step out in this and encourage them to do it as well with their daughters. Yeah.
Just a thought I had on that with your daughters. And I'm not sure what your age your children are, but when you're going to have plenty of time when they get to the age of dating and seeking out that whole youth area, you will be able to speak volumes into mm-hmm. your daughter's life and be able to swing it back to, and if your wife does, you know, talk to her about her sexuality, but you're going to be able to have that door to talk about that with her, about her boyfriend, meet with her boyfriend and make sure and say, look, I'm concerned about this. My daughter's concerned about this. You will have plenty of time. I encourage you to still give your daughters hugs. They need your hugs also. I know sometimes it's awkward, but they still need the father's affection.
Mm-hmm. Need to wrap it up in about five here. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. More questions?
Yeah.
Go ahead, James.
Don't want to take a lot of time, but I really want to encourage that you have that relationship before they're 13. I didn't have passport to purity, and I tried to start earlier because of some encouragement from others, but I failed to go as deep into it as I should have, and had some bad experiences because of it, and I think we're still reaping some from that. Also, it's important to teach our children what they learn and hear now. They're going to remember that a long time. There was a song I heard when I was in the upper teens that somehow, we didn't have radio, but I heard this song too often. And at a parts show a little over a year ago, I heard the song, and it was not an immoral song, but it just shows to me how those things stick there. Even though you repent of listening to those things, et cetera, it's there, and the right things can bring it out again. So what we remember from when we're young, and my encouragement is that 13's probably not too early. Earlier might be better and I don't want to act like I know an awful lot about it, but from experience I've learned a few things. So, yeah, I just want to encourage everyone to move ahead with some kind of program. And I just recently listened through this, and I wish I'd have had it earlier. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would encourage you to listen to it yourselves, know what you believe. Just listening to it again just reaffirmed that this stuff needs to be taught. If you don't form your children's convictions or at an early formable stage, they will get them, or at least maybe they aren't convictions, but they're going to form their ideas about what's happening in life, and you have that opportunity. Go ahead.
Yes, I think Dave mentioned, that a father's attempt at this actually turned out badly. Where his son ended up getting into pornography because of it. Is that a fluke or is that a valid fear? I know that there is some fear, especially among my peers, especially starting too young. They're afraid they're going to arouse things that they shouldn't. Is that really a valid concern?
Yes, my thought on that would be, it's very important. Following up, how are you doing? From years afterwards, touching base on a lot of these subjects.
My comment on that is this: they're going to learn it sometime, and they're going to learn it from somewhere. And I would prefer erring on the young side. It's challenging after you start talking to your child to realize they already heard a lot of this in the church parking lot or at school, and I can promise you they will. And so where did most of us learn about our sexuality, and do you want your children to learn about it in the same way? I think you can start too young. I think you can start too explicit. That's why I would encourage, listen to the material, because you're going to hear it presented in a very healthy and holy way, very healthy and very holy. And so then you can choose how you're going to do that. But the children are not going to be, in talking to your children about this, they're not going to be titillated and excited about, they're not going to be, I don't think it's sexually stimulating. I think it's informative, because there's two very different things there. Yeah. And could you start too young? Yeah, I think it was wise on Brunel's part to be sensitive to where your children are, But boy, be sensitive to the children, your children's friends. You might say, well, I think they ought to wait till 12, but your children's friends might think that 8 is fine for them to tell them some of the stuff they learned.
I know you have a book back there on Mighty Parts of Private, promoting that book, and I'm not sure what age you suggest to share that book.
Early. 2, 3, 4.
And I would agree with that. It was just by my youngest son, verse 4, I had did pastoral for purity with them when age 13, 14, 15. We homeschool our children, and so there was probably a little more protection, not proof, just a little protection. And so my wife and I would discern together when the timing is. But I have 11-year-olds, that book, My Body Parts Are Private, I went through with him as a 10-year-old. I'm glad I did. There's also a book called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's also a junior book on that that helps a child understand, about pornography and when they're first exposed to that and what to do with that. Mm-hmm. And I went through that with him as well, and I'm glad I did. Our children are more exposed now, especially the internet and all kinds of media. And if you get into the school setting, there's a lot more exposure. But I think when we teach them at a younger age about our body parts and what they are, so that when they hear that from a friend, Mom and Dad talking about that. I know what that's about.
Mm-hmm.
If they've never heard that, they say, what is that? And they go searching, and they go looking, and then that opens them up to a lot more dangerous material and luring them into the wrong direction. Whereas if we have taught them earlier, they understand that. And they can even come back to Mom and Daddy and ask those questions because you already have laid the groundwork for them.
Yeah.
And so I agree with Jason there. I think it's they're going to find out. But can we give that to the men of God?
Thank you, Ray. And it is time for us to wrap it up. We thank you very much. It's been a good morning. Let's just close asking the Father to give us the wisdom to use these things wisely. Thank you, Father. You've brought our lives together this morning, and you've called us out to be men. Lord, would you help us to be wise? Wise in raising up a godly seed for you. But help us also to be courageously bold in teaching our sons, our daughters, leading our families, our wives in a way that gives glory and honor to you. You wrote the manual. And we look to you, your Holy Spirit, to guide us as we keep on walking with our families. For your glory, for your honor, for your praise, would you bless us, Father, with the wisdom to keep on walking in a way that gives glory to your name. You know the battles we're fighting. Give us the tools to use and to use them effectively, a weapon of warfare against the enemy, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, brothers.